Okay, thanks to all of you for being here. Thanks to Joan for inviting me. I'm really honored to be part of this. And yeah, so the theme is writing from history, so all of these come from history in some more or less obvious fashion. I'm gonna do four poems, three shorter, one longer. This first one draws some of its imagery from the book The Worst Journey in the World by Apsley Cherry Gerard about the 1911 expedition to the South Pole and to find an emperor penguin egg. It's not about that at all, but it is from that in a certain sense. It's an untitled sonnet. If words prefer wide open spaces, they are in the wrong place. For in this terrain, ridged and crevassed by turns, whoso should stray is lost. The daily sledging is a strain for which the old alliances that know the dangers and delights and so expect what the ground gives most aid. This ice and snow is called, fondly, the pressure, apt, direct. Oh, have I scared you, friends? For you retire with awesome haste and leave me to traverse this wasteland wordless. No, it's not so dire. Here are a grizzled few. I could do worse. The world await upon the brain impressed. The oldest metaphors are still the best. This next poem takes history down to the smaller personal scale of memory. This is written in honor of my, and in memory of my maternal grandfather-in-law, Sun Weining, who spent the last years of his life suffering from Alzheimer's disease. And this is dedicated to my wife, Yijing, and her grief. After the steam had settled on his mind, and after the steam had blanched his bones, she came for him with a teary offering, a great black ram that dripped dark blood. But he hung back, unsure who could be calling him to drink from the pooling blood. Three times she reached to grasp his shadow. Three times he fled her fingers like steam. He drank the soup. He will not return to put his mouth to the congealing blood. This next one is maybe the most properly from history because it is literally from history. It is not by me. This is a translation of the poem Drinking Wine by Tao Yuanming, and here my wife deserves half the credit for helping me. My Chinese is not good enough to do this on my own. This is Drinking Wine after Tao Yuanming. I build my hut in a settled place, and yet no clamor of carts or horses. You ask, sir, how can it be so? The distant heart secludes the place. Picking chrysanthemums by the eastern hedge, idly observing the southern mountains, the mountain air beautiful day and night, the birds returning like old friends. In all of this, there is clear meaning. Even hoping to share it, I lose speech. And the last one that I'm going to do might be called a bit of Virgil fan fiction. In book two of the Aeneid, Aeneas and his family are fleeing Troy, and Aeneas takes his son, Ulysses, and his father, Anchises, takes them up with him. They're leaving the city, and he tells his wife, Creusa, follow behind me at a distance. They get outside the city, and Creusa is gone. We don't know why he told her to walk behind at a distance. We don't know exactly what happened to her. We just know that he told her to do that, and then she was gone. And so this poem is titled Flit. It is not given us to know. Life, erratic as a butterfly's careening, may yet prove to be an insect's dream. Nothing so fragile, so unsteady as the human mind, no better than a mushroom poking from the earth, then vanishing before the moon can follow, can pretend to certainty. No matter. We may still proliferate hypotheses, and this is good enough to keep at bay the fear of gods and death. Consider, fire may be motion, may be fluid. Either way, it is not Juno. I am dithering. Enough. Here's how it might have happened. No. Let me start again. Troy was on fire. That's the key point. My city was on fire, and its belly swarmed with Greeks. My terror sought the release of hot blood on a cold blade, but my mother pulled me back, against my will, through streets unrecognizable, to a home inexplicably intact. Anchises was there, Creusa, Ulysses. I grabbed my son, my father, told Creusa to follow, a ways back. Why? Why? I was still thinking of gore. Let the fighting find me at the front. Let her hang back where death will not come looking. Stupid. He has so many eyes that sparkle with disdain, and I had none to catch the flash that cut her down. Stupid. Or it may have gone like this. Troy was on fire and swarming with Greeks. I grabbed my son, my father, told Creusa to follow, a ways back. Why? Why? My mother, as she dragged me through the streets I once knew, informed me of my fate, of the wife, the faceless wife, for whom I'd wage a war, Lavinia, then left me, lamely standing in my home. It's time to go. What else to say? Dad, son, with me. But her, how could I face her? Her whom I would have to leave, if not now, soon. And you, behind. Exactly so. She knew, of course, not what precisely, but no less. She knew, and knowing, she removed herself. The streets as we fled furnished many weapons. So true it is that the dead will aid their own. Darkness is often privation. The sun slinks below the sea. The last rays of its radiant cowardice fade, and we feel it gone all night. But darkness may also be a presence, stinging our eyes, our nostrils. Then the black sky grows blacker, fed by an orange glow beneath. And there is something that delights in flame, that in its waking hours ever seeks the conflagration conjured in its dreams. And it is possible that as she ran beside us, fled with us, a butterfly enthralled her, drew first her eyes, then her legs, back, back, until she vanished in the smoke. Maybe. Maybe. And a million maybes. My feet, I turned to Troy, my steps retraced. Creusa, no. Creusa, no. Still no. To the mountains, Ulysses, she is gone. All roads lead back to this unfractured fact, thick and rich with being, like an atom. Thank you.